back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. Interesting Reuters little bit today. Asbestos in the talcum powder. Yeah, nothing says you love your child by wiping their behind with a deadly substance. Look, we're getting baby formula from China with melamine in it. Why not talcum powder for the other end? Just nuts. And they've known about this for decades. And, you know, Johnson & Johnson, well, you know, who needs regulation? Who needs the FDA? Who needs any of that stuff? Anyway, let's find out what's going on around the world. And in Washington, D.C., our good friend Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what do you think? What's a little asbestos, among friends?
It's the weirdest thing. It's like they're trying to deregulate everything. So all of those lawsuits over the years for companies and whatnot that were hurting people with asbestos or whatever chemicals. Now it's just like, oh, they can do whatever they want willy-nilly. And I just feel like all of those commercials that you see about mesothelioma and pneumococcal pneumonia and like all of this stuff, I feel like we have years and years of commercials saying, if you want to sue people who basically caused you a death sentence, then, you know, call me. And now it's all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's totally fine and legal.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, the thing is, I often have conversations with friends who go, you know, how do we get to be old? Because we didn't wear helmets when we rode our bike. Nobody, you know, wore seat belts when they drove in the car. In fact, you know, we rode in the back of the pickup truck. You know, I was going to take my kids around the block in the back of the pickup truck a while ago, and my wife said, "Oh no, federal crime, can't do that anymore."
Oh man, I always think about my grandpa whenever he played football in high school, and they didn't even have helmets. They had like these leather things that had just like some kind of, I don't know, cotton padding or something inside. It wasn't even like a hard helmet. And now, of course, they've got these, you know, crash resistant concussion, whatever tested helmets. And so yes. God knows how many people over 70 have massive head injuries that we don't even know about.
Yeah, but the thing is they didn't lead with their head back then. I mean, you know, the reality is now you've got this thing on your head. Now go head first. Back then they didn't.
Yeah.
You're a little more cognizant when you would be bleeding on the other end of it. So it is what it is. Let's move on.
True.
Chief of Staff, possibly Kellyanne Conway, possibly what, Mick Mulvaney, possibly who knows who, but not Chris Christie.
Oh, poor Chris Christie. We knew that was going to happen, though. I don't understand why he even thought that he would be in the running. He put Jared Kushner's father in jail. There's no way, like zero possibility, that Chris Christie is going to be the chief of staff and manage Jared and Ivanka. There's no way.
No, there's no way. And I don't even know why you would, other than just to keep your name out in the public or get a headline or whatever. I don't know why why would you throw yourself into that meat grinder? I mean, the one headline I read, you know, the job's going to be like Mission Impossible. And of course it's going to be Mission Impossible, because the second you take the job, Trump is going to turn on you and you will be his enemy.
It's true. And I don't know if you noticed, but it seems like all of the craziest people are applying for this job. You got like Piers Morgan and John Voight. So I just feel like if those are the people that are applying and everyone else in politics is all of a sudden like, oh, you know, I want to spend more time with my family.
I want a garden.
I want to garden more. I can't be your chief of staff.
I want to dig ditches. And I'm waiting for Ted Nugent and Kid Rock and the rest of the other, you know, crazy. How come we haven't heard Sarah Palin's name yet?
Oh, right?
Yeah.
That would have been awesome. We need to bring Sarah Palin back. She was good for a lot of laughs.
You know, you'd have her and Huckabee, and it would be an interesting thing. What do you think about Huckabee? She wants to be remembered for transparency and honesty.
Oh, crap. BS. If I could say the actual words, I would. That's so disgusting just to even think about. And, you know, I've always wondered if she's being lied to or she's the one that's lying to everybody. It's entirely possible that they just lie to her all the time.
I don't know. I think she's in on the game. I think she's smart enough. I give her credit for being smart enough to know that it's all BS, and she's sold her soul. She's there.
Yeah, I think that that's the thing. I think she's probably sold her soul, and power to her.
She's going to be left behind. She will be left behind.
Well, I thought she was leaving at the end of the year.
Yeah, she's been in and out, I guess, for a while. She's going to be the longest serving person there, I think, right?
I mean, seriously, other than the children. Well,
they're never
Javonka.
Going. They're never going, yeah. But unless you can indict them and, find out.
Yeah, until they're in jail.
Because, Kelly actually lasted, to be honest, he lasted a whole lot longer than I thought he would.
I agree. I was shocked. And I mean, maybe that's the reason for that is you need somebody who's an actual general who has been battle tested, who's been in combat. The only person who can actually handle the White House right now are people who've done time in the military and been in combat. That's how bad this is.
Crazy, especially now with all of the, there's some stuff piling on. I mean, this Cohen thing, he got 3 years in jail. Yeah, I don't think that's enough. But hey, we'll find out what he had to say. This is pretty huge because I keep reading reports that, Trump is just beyond fuming.
Yeah.
And it's, just it's got to be, if you're inside this White House, it has got to be torturous to be anywhere near him.
Absolutely. That's the story that everybody is talking about. Every person who has any affiliation with the White House, every reporter who covers the White House, everyone is talking about how he is just fuming and furious and screaming at people and bellowing down the halls. And I mean, I think there was always a little bit of that in general where he would get angry and yell at stuff. But now, he's not even showing up to work till noon. He's phoning it in about everything, which I don't know. Maybe
I'm
if
okay
he
with.
Feels like, right? I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking. It's like maybe if he thinks I'm going to go to jail, then whatever. I'm done. I'm not going to work anymore. If you're going to get fired, then you're just like,
just buy
my
time.
Do any work. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe he's going that route. It's been weird to hear stuff like this. I can't imagine. This is supposed to be the holidays, right? It's supposed to be this cheerful, wonderful time of twinkle lights and music. And now we have Trump screaming at people and not showing up to work until noon.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Welcome to Washington.
Can you imagine that tree lighting ceremony? Can you imagine waking up Christmas morning with that?
Oh, that'd be awful.
Poor Barron. I feel sorry for Barron. I really do.
Yeah, he and Tiffany have been my favorite Trumps so far. But I mean, Tiffany's kind of fallen in my opinion. I keep looking at her Instagrams and they're pretty bad, but poor Barron. He seems like a normal kid.
Maybe as normal as you can be.
As normal as you can be in Washington.
Yeah. I mean, it's a crazy place, but here's the thing. And this is what gets me. There are still going to be, the Trump supporters who, no matter what happens, no matter how crazy he is, no matter how much he storms up and down and screams and hollers and rants and raves and the bizarre tweets, there's still going to be the basket of deplorable, like my family, who are going to defend him. I mean, just this last weekend, I went home to visit family, holiday party and all that stuff. And, man, they were just... Trump's doing a great job. Trump's doing, he's doing what he said he was going to do. He's ticking off those liberals. It's just amazing to me.
It's insane. And you've got all of these jobs that are now starting to fall to the side and GM's gone. And, I just feel like this is, when are they going to wake up? We saw the, last night, the Women for Trump chair or founder was on CNN and she basically, everybody is parroting the same talking point that there was that Trump had nothing to do with these payoffs. And it's like, dude, there's a tape. And this woman is sitting there and Chris Cuomo is opposite of her. And she's just like, no, this never happened. And he goes, I've got the president on tape saying these things. And she's like,
are you sure it's him?
Are you sure it's him? And you just want to be like, yeah, no, we've known this for several months. How have you not seen this? Like, how are you in politics? How do you do this for a living and not know, what's actually happening? And she just looked like a deer in headlights, her eyes got really big And she just, then immediately she just pivots to Hillary Clinton.
There it is. Did the classic. It happened to me all weekend. Anytime you'd make a point about something that Trump did wrong, immediately there's no defense but Hillary.
It's always Hillary. Like, when in doubt, just blame Hillary. Even if it has nothing to do with the topic. It could be like, you know, Trump and the National Enquirer, and he didn't do these payoffs. But it doesn't matter anyway, because Hillary Clinton
had email.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And it's always the emails. Like, why can't we come up with something else? I mean, the rest of it is all conspiracy theory. The rest of it's like, oh, she's the one who actually colluded with Russia, or, you know, she's the one who had some weird deal with the Saudis. And it's just like, whatever Trump does that's wrong, they just automatically say that Hillary did it too.
Yeah, but
whether it's true or not.
But here's the thing, and this is where I, again, you know, stumped the deplorables. You know, you brought up the emails, and I go, okay, so let's say the emails are bad. Why aren't you going after Ivanka and Jared? They've used private emails.
Yeah, that's their big problem, is that, you know, for the longest time, they had this whole email, this Hillary Clinton email thing, and then all of a sudden, Ivanka Trump did the exact same thing. And you're just like, oopsie, you guys just basically screwed yourself out of your own Trump card.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, but this tape, you know, the interesting thing, it's his voice on the tape. Either it's him or it's Alec Baldwin. It's one of them, though.
Right? And not that I don't love Alec Baldwin, but I feel like he doesn't sound the part. He can say the right things and he can make the right gesture. Sorry, my nose is running.
Quick catch.
Right? This is Trump's voice. You can hear it. It's on the internet. You can Google it, Trump tapes. This is the first tape that Michael Cohen released. There's something like over 100 recordings of all of these things. And the reason that we know that it really was Trump is that David Pecker testified that he was in the room when they started discussing these things. So he confirmed all of the stuff that we heard on this tape. And I mean, it blows my mind that people can be like, oh no, that didn't really happen. You know, it's like denying the moon landing or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, you had to know Pecker was going to turn on him. You had to know Pecker was going to backdoor him.
Yeah. Pecker went in there. He just got right in there and
got the job done.
Oh my God. This is just like, this is the best Pecker puns ever. It's time for the Pecker puns.
No, I mean, but look at this. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's kind of ironic, though, that, you know, the National Enquirer is in the middle of all this.
It is. And what's interesting is seeing now everybody's starting to talk about all of these National Enquirer headlines and these covers where they just were so dogged about going after Hillary Clinton all through the election. Crazy conspiracy theories like, you know, Hillary's having a mental breakdown. Hillary's has a death sentence and has some incurable disease. Hillary gained 150 pounds last weekend while on vacation. I mean, they just came up with all of these crazy conspiracy things, and they were all over the supermarket tabloids. And that was part of Pecker, you know, stepping up and helping Donald Trump win the election. It just blows my mind that all of these components that Trump got from these third parties to win this election, it blows me away.
Yeah, it's just amazing stuff. And again, I'm hoping we get to the bottom of it and we start throwing people in jail. And like Cohen, because, you know, you've got Trump running around saying he's weak, he's a liar, he's all these things. Look, when the ship is sinking, all of the rats are going to jump ship, and they're all going to turn their finger at Trump. It's going to happen.
It's absolutely going to happen, because you start talking about people who, you know, when they thought for a minute that maybe Trump would pardon them, that's one thing. But I mean, you look at Paul Manafort. I think Paul Manafort's actually more concerned that Russia might poison him.
Yep.
You know, I think that he's really more concerned about that, about protecting his family from being killed by Russia, than he is of angering Trump.
No, I've said before. Look, you know, at the end of it, don't walk near any open windows.
Because, yeah, for real.
You know, they will throw him out. I don't think his loyalty is to Trump at all. I think you're absolutely right. I think he's fearful of the Russian mob. And I got to tell you, I think Trump is too. You don't become a real estate mogul in New York, in Manhattan, without navigating the Russian mob or the mafia. You just don't.
Yeah, and we know that he has a history with the mafia in Jersey when he was doing the casino stuff, because it was back in the day when mafia ran Jersey. So we know that he has those relationships. We know he has that background and made those deals. So, I mean, maybe that's his thing. Maybe they have maybe that's the compromise that they have on him.
Could quite be. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Sarah Burris, reporter, Raw Story. Check out her work there at rawstory.com. Let's move on. Potted plant, or was Mike Pence stoned?
I think there's the joke that you can make, but then you just have to wonder, like, maybe he was on something. Like, maybe he accidentally took a Tylenol PM instead of his allergy pill or something. Maybe he was just sitting there thinking to himself, just be quiet, Mike, and in a couple of weeks, this will be your job. I mean, who the hell knows? What's so bizarre is I feel like your vice president's supposed to be the guy that steps in and helps you out, right? Like, I remember Joe Biden being like, I am the guy who will protect the president. Right. I will take all the hits and say all the things and do what you got to do. And Mike Pence was just like, you know what? I'm good. I'm out.
If he just had a pair of shades, you know, if he took Nancy Pelosi's sunglasses, it'd have been a weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was like. It was so bizarre watching. I mean, you could see him blinking and his eyes moving, but the fact that his hands were just clenched and he wasn't moving them, I don't know if he was just furious or he was like, there's no way to get out of this. That was the weirdest thing ever. And I really respect Pelosi, of all people, being like, you know, let's not talk about this right now. Let's not argue about this in front of the cameras. And she did it. She said that not because she was like against transparency. She did it because she didn't want to embarrass the president. I mean, kudos to her for like at least trying to be a decent human being in this town. Who the hell does that anymore?
Or as she said, she was just trying to be mom.
Right. And I believe it. I totally believe it. Because, I mean, we used to make jokes about Nancy Pelosi. We called her Nan Nan whenever we were doing fundraising because she was like this little fairy godmother that would swoop in and give your campaign lots of money. And she's got like 50 grandchildren. So, you know, she really is sort of like that fairy godmother of politics. And she's a very thoughtful person. She's brilliant, absolutely brilliant, particularly with numbers. But yeah, no, this idea that she was just like really trying to help him out, be like, you know, dude, let's like not talk about this right in front of the cameras. And he thought that that was like a bad thing. She's like, no, I'm trying to help you, man. I'm trying to help you. And sure enough, he stuck his finger in the light socket and said that he would own up to the shutdown.
He was proud of it. He would be proud of it.
He was proud of the shutdown and he wanted to have it. And by God, it was like this weird temper tantrum where, you know, the Democrats were like, you know, we're not going to own this shutdown. And Trump's like, fine, then I'll own it. It's like,
it's mine.
No, wait, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that, man.
Well, he's walked back from it now.
And yeah, now he's done this video blaming the Democrats for it.
You can't have it both ways, like, though.
No, you can't. And so you want to put those videos right next to each other and be like, dude, it was everywhere in the news that you wanted to own this shutdown, that you were proud of it. So if you think that doing one Twitter video calling the Democrats and blaming them for this, when it's your freaking wall that all of this comes down to, if you really want to try that, go ahead. I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah, but, you know, the base, they want the wall, man. They want the wall. And what that whole thing, the reason it was on camera, you know as well as anyone, it was an ambush. It was to get Chuck and Nancy to sit there and have his little tirade so that he could, you know, he could pander to his base and keep all of the, you know, the crazies tingly in the panties.
Exactly. And I think what was fun about it is that I think Chuck and Nancy went into that thinking, okay, we know what this is really going to be. And they had a plan and they executed it and they beat him at his own game. So if this is the kind of leadership that we can look forward to, I mean, Schumer's kind of a schmuck and I'm sort of done with him. But if we're going to go this route, if we're going to have Democrats who really show up and very calmly and rationally and patiently stick their foots out and trip him, then I'm cool with that.
No, I'm okay with that, too. I don't think they need to stick their foot out. I think he's just going to trip over himself.
True. I think so, too. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's been a crazy week. And, you know, we're so close to Christmas. We're so close to the holiday season. I'm going, you know, is there a break coming where we can, you know, kind of take a little breath? Because, look, there's the shutdown coming up, I guess, you know, potentially the 21st, I guess, a couple of days before Christmas. Can we get a break?
I know, right? So he's going on vacation for 2 weeks. Which you would normally, when President Obama would go to Hawaii with the family for Christmas, things were quiet and chill and there was nothing going on. When Trump goes on vacation to Mar-a-Lago for 2 weeks, it's just going to be Twitter explosions. It's going to be meltdown after meltdown all through the internet. And so there's really no escaping it. If we end up with this shutdown right before Christmas and then Trump just up and leaves and goes to Mar-a-Lago for vacation for 2 weeks, that's going to be a really bad look.
But again, he doesn't care what it looks like.
He doesn't care what it looks like. If he wants to do that, I mean, honestly, at this point, it's like, go for it, man. I'm calling his bluff. Go for it. See how that works out for you.
No, but my problem is that most people don't even remember the last shutdown or whose fault it was. It was the Republicans, other than the people who were directly affected by it. I know a couple of people who were going on vacation and they couldn't go to a state park because the state park was closed, which they're still ticked about and seething about today. But I think most people, you know, they're like, well, see, government's dysfunctional. That's why we shouldn't do anything.
That's what's so crazy. It's always the Republicans who want to shut down the government. The Democrats like government, right? They want to fund government. It's Republicans who don't and who are like, ah, screw it. But then you have all these people who hate government for a while. And then once it shuts down, then they start complaining about it. And then they're like, oh, crap. No, I actually do need this stuff.
You know what's interesting, though? You know, this whole fight is over the wall. And because, you know, according to him, he cares about border security. Yet if they shut the government down, and they don't fund the Border Patrol or ICE or any of that stuff. Although all those people have to work for free over the holidays. And you go, but I thought this was about border security.
I know, that's the fun part. I mean, I think that a lot of the actual on the border guys, those are going to be considered essential staff, but most of the rest of them, they're not. They're non-essential. So it's going to put everybody, you know, the guys on the border are going to be non-essential staff that are furloughed. Everybody else gets to go home and gets to worry about how the heck they're going to pay for Christmas presents that they just put on their credit card. And that's not really good for the economy right now. We're already dealing with, you know, some questionable market issues because, you know, it's freaking out. So
crazy.
Again, good luck with that, Donald.
Just crazy. So what are you doing for the holiday? Anything, any plans, anything?
No, I'm going back to Oklahoma, hanging with my folks, and for New Year's, I'm going to go to Denver and see some friends and hang out with them. So I'll be home beginning of January.
Well, good for you. If I don't see you again before the big holiday, I wish you the best and a happy all of that, because we are, as of next Wednesday is going to be our last show. We are disappearing for 2 weeks. Right down near Mar-a-Lago. We're going to head to Hollywood, Florida, and spend 2 weeks on the beach as a family and away from this.
You know, the family that protests together stays together.
Maybe we find our way to Mar-a-Lago and hopefully don't get arrested.
There you go.
Good stuff. Sarah, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Have a good holiday.
You as well. Our good friend Sarah Burris. Make sure you check out her stuff over at Raw Story. Always. Good stuff there. Let's take a quick break, right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Making the blue blood see red. The Rick Smith Show.
The Arctic is experiencing the most unprecedented transition in human history.
Very bad news in the latest Arctic report card. Coal State Democratic Senator gets top Energy Committee position. Washington State Governor unveils ambitious climate change legislation. Plus,
well, I want the cleanest air and the cleanest water on the planet. I want crystal clean water.
Trump EPA rolls back yet another major water protection rule.
All of those rollbacks and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
When you look at China and when you look at other countries where they have very, you know, foul air. They have not good air.
Yes, we know what foul means. You are a really not good president. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, I think you understated it. I think it's not very bad news in the Arctic. I think it's very, very bad news in the Arctic.
Okay, we'll take it. The Arctic is in bad shape, and that has global consequences in faster sea level rise, faster global warming, and more extreme weather. That's according to the latest Arctic report card out this week, an annual update on changes in the Arctic issued by NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. NOAA finds that the Arctic has lost 95% of its oldest, thickest sea ice, which is severely impacting land and marine species. 2018 will likely be the second hottest year in the Arctic after 2016, and the five warmest years on record in the Arctic have all occurred in just the last 5 years.
Just to be clear, you said that 95% of the old Arctic ice has been melted.
Right. In a press conference, NOAA scientist Emily Osborne explained that what happens in the Arctic doesn't stay in the Arctic.
What we're seeing is that the Arctic is warming at twice the rate as the rest of the globe. That results in a change in the pattern of our jet stream, and the jet stream is impacting our weather throughout the year.
Impacts include extreme weather that stalls in place, like record drought in the west, or extreme rainfall events like Hurricane Harvey. The rapidly disintegrating sea ice is also attracting shipping traffic and mining interests to the region, and therefore more pollution. The Arctic now has more microplastic pollution than any other ocean basin. Report co-author Don Perovich summed up the dire report.
One of the big takeaways from this year is it really shows how interconnected things are, how the Arctic is a system, and we're really starting to see cascading effects that we don't fully understand.
Not only cascading effects, but feedback loops. As the white ice disappears, it's replaced by darker water and land, which absorbs heat from the sun instead of reflects it back.
And that, in turn, creates even more warming that melts even more ice.
Right. This is very bad.
In other news, the Trump Environmental Protection Agency this week proposed rolling back yet another major Obama-era public health standard, the Waters of the United States rule that protected waterways and wetlands that feed into the drinking water supply of one-third of Americans. It was aggressively opposed by Republican state attorneys general and some folks in the agriculture, real estate, and oil industries, and golf course owners like President Trump.
Huh.
In a press conference, this is how Acting Administrator Andrew Wheeler characterized the Obama standard.
They claimed it was in the best interest of water quality, but it was really about power. Power in the hands of the federal government over farmers, developers, and landowners.
Also, an EPA spokesman claimed that the agency had no data on the impact of the rollback, but E&E News, via a public records request, obtained that data that doesn't exist, showing the agency determined 20% of streams and 50% of wetlands would lose protection under the new rule. This is a proposed rule. The public comment period is now open at regulations.gov. And it will likely face years of litigation.
Good.
In the United States Senate, Democratic Minority Leader Chuck Schumer has granted the top spot on the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee to Joe Manchin of West Virginia.
Bad.
A major supporter of the coal industry and the committee's highest-ranking member, this after midterm election losses forced a committee leadership reshuffling. As climate activist Bill McKibben put it on Twitter, quote, "Yes, we have to change everything to deal with climate change, but no, that doesn't include seniority rules in the Senate."
And putting Joe Manchin on an energy committee. You know, for all the complaints about Nancy Pelosi, why aren't Democrats complaining about Chuck Schumer in the Senate?
Finally, there is some good good news. Washington State's Democratic Governor Jay Inslee this week unveiled an ambitious package of legislation to tackle climate change that includes phasing out fossil fuels like natural gas and coal from the state's electricity supply by 2045. There's no carbon tax or fee included in the governor's proposed legislation. That's after the oil industry spent $30 million to defeat a state carbon tax in the November election.
For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us planet-wide, please, on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.